Welcome to Words of Wisdom from a Centenarian and His Love. My name is Sarah Dimmerman, also known as Help Me Sarah, and today I'm in conversation with my guests Henry and Valerie Kerr. Henry Kerr was born in England on July the 1st, 1913, meaning that in 2013, in his 100th year of life, he can officially call himself a centenarian. Henry, his late wife Gladys, and their two children emigrated to Johannesburg, South Africa in 1954. They later moved back to the United Kingdom. Henry and Gladys had been married for 68 years when Gladys passed away in 2005. Then Henry moved into a residential care home in North London where he met Valerie. They married in July of 2010 because Henry felt that people were whispering behind their backs and gossiping about them moving in together. He thought it would be better if they were Mr. and Mrs. His beautiful bride, Valerie, was 88 at the time. They took over the title of Britain's oldest newlyweds and appeared in interviews on London TV and radio stations, as well as all over the world on the internet and in newspapers. Between them, Henry and Valerie have 6 children, 19 grandchildren, and 7 great-grandchildren. It is my honor to reach them today in London, England. Welcome, Henry.
Oh, thank you very much. A nice welcome. Nice place to be.
So, Henry, you're in your 100th year of life, which is just so wonderful.
Yes, it is.
Tell me...
Unimaginable. And the things that one can look back on over those 100 years are beyond description interesting.
How about sharing some of the highlights of your life with us?
Yes.
Would you like to share some of the highlights of your life with us?
Well, highlights in a few minutes over 100 years is a pretty big order.
It is.
Some of the things that stick in the mind, some are very pleasant, of course. Others not so pleasant. For example, I grew up in an idyllic situation in a suburb of London called Norbury, which at that time was a sort of country retreat for the gentry who worked in the city and came to their homes in the outskirts. It was simply surrounded by farmlands, and I had an idyllic life as a child in those places. In later years, some of the other memories that stick in one's mind were, of course, the war years when I was in the army, and that was pretty drastic. Then I went into the found myself in the film business, and this was absolutely thrilling. After some time, I found myself as the general manager of a group of 50 big theatres in England, all over England. And from there, it was a gigantic leap when I became the general manager of the big group of cinemas in South Africa, the Schlesinger Circuit, where I was responsible for the operation of over 200 theatres with a staff of several thousands. These are the highlights of the past. But some of the most extraordinary situations involving Valerie and me, but our paths have crisscrossed over the past 50 years, although we only met for the first time in this care home in the most remarkable situations. Valerie was an undergraduate at the university in Johannesburg, which many of your listeners will know, Wits University, at a time when the company I was associated with had a program of expansion all over the world, and they were looking for absolutely top quality graduates in commerce. Valerie was an undergraduate in science, and I was interviewing top candidates from the commerce and accountancy faculties. We were there simultaneously at the same time, and yet we never met.
Wow.
And then our paths continued to crisscross in the most remarkable way. We finished up jumping several generations in the most remarkable coincidence, where our families had grown up and dispersed all over the world. And in Los Angeles, we found that Valerie's grandchildren and my great-grandchildren were in the same school.
Wow.
And not only in the same school, but in the same class. And that they were close friends. And when this was revealed, both my grandson, my son, and Valerie's family became close friends in Los Angeles. So the thing became a complete circuit closure.
So,
of course, there are many, many other incidents in my life that are much too many to contemplate in a short space of time.
And I understand that you are a poet, and I have read much of your poetry, and I think it's brilliant.
Well, thank you, darling. This is another remarkable thing. Valerie, who is a scientific graduate, has had a very close interest in the arts, in poetry and in music particularly. And I, who am a commerce, involved in commerce, have always had a very close interest in poetry and music and painting.
Right.
There is evidence of these interests all over our home here in London now.
Did you always write poetry, Henry, or was it more recently that you started writing?
I always wrote a lot of rhyming stuff, humorous comments and so on, ever since I can remember. But I started writing quite seriously quite later in life. And I was conducting in this care home. I was conducting a poetry reading and interest group in conjunction with another one of the residents. And I was getting out some of my old poetry, and they were on my desk, but one of the staff here happened to see it. And she said to me, "Why on earth are you attending these debates and things downstairs when you could be writing lovely stuff like this? Now stop it. Now get on with it now." She was quite a lovely bullying girl. That's when I sat down and I started. I wrote frantically for about 6 months. I couldn't stop.
And so who do you write the poetry? Do you write the poetry for people or do you write it for yourself?
Well, I write it mainly to amuse myself, but it's such a wide field. I write everything from serious stuff to the most frivolous stuff and thoroughly enjoy it. It gives me a great deal of satisfaction when it comes to an end. It goes into print and it's lovely.
And so who reads your poetry outside of your family and friends and the people in the care home?
Outside of family, friends, and care home?
Yes, anybody...
I don't know about outside of that. I don't have public meetings, no.
So...
I think that covers it. The care home is a big crowd of their friends as well. And the family, as you may imagine, is spread all over the world, and they all have copies of it. So it's pretty well spread, even if it's not a public reading.
And I would imagine...
I've been invited to do public readings, but I've refused because, for me, it's writing and declaiming poetry is a pleasure, and I don't want to turn it into a duty.
Absolutely, but I do understand you went to your great-grandchild's school to...
I'm so sorry, I couldn't catch that.
I do understand that you went to your great-grandchild's school to read some of your poetry there.
In fact, three of them. Three of them, both of the very well-known schools in London, where I've done lectures and written quite a lot about one particular granddaughter who revels in it. And I've been invited to read poetry and discuss poetry with the senior classes at three of the big schools here.
So
yes, that's true.
So would you mind if I read one of your poems that you wrote for Valerie?
I shall be flattered.
So the poem reads, "For Valerie, my darling wife."
That's the last thing I wrote.
That's right. That's the last piece that I wrote
this
that
one,
you...
Yes.
Sometimes in the comfort of our cozy room, under the velvet cover of a lovely night, I will put my arms around her and she will hold me tight. And very soon, by the magic of exquisite ecstasy, we're soaring like a rocket to the moon. In this sweet, intoxicating ecstasy, in this whirling, swirling galaxy of a million shooting stars, it seems as if we've once again discovered the secret of eternity in a single kiss.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
when you said it, it sounds good to me.
It's your words. I'm just reading them out loud.
Well, I must say, I find it very impressive. I'd like to meet the author.
You know, when I read that, I thought, wow, I'd like to experience the magic of that single kiss too.
Lovely. Well, it's a remarkable story in two ways. Firstly, as obviously I'm a pretty old codger who keeps falling in love with his own wife, which is a little odd. And the other thing is that poem is a remarkable feature of writing. It started with the last line ringing through my head. It was just a little phrase that went through my head during the night when I woke up. And it just rocketed through. And I wrote it backwards. I started with the last line and worked backwards to the first line. And it was a whole series of thoughts jumbled up, not rhyming, not scanning. And I worked on it and worked on it until that finally evolved as we've just read it so beautifully.
So I think so that you began with the secret of eternity in a single kiss.
That's right.
And then you worked backwards.
That's right.
So that was kind of your central theme that you came to as a kind of like a climax or a culmination of all the thoughts.
Absolutely, because it was a jangle of all different thoughts that finally fell into place and exactly expressed my feelings perfectly.
So, you know, you are a true testament that living to 100 and please God, many more years beyond that, it doesn't matter how old you are. I mean, we think of people who age as being less capable or less able-minded. And unfortunately, for some, that's true. But for many, it's not. And you are a true testament of how one can still be so mentally astute and creative and so fully aware and full of life and so vital.
Well, that's very kind of you to say, sir, and I must say I'm very lucky about that. In fact, not long after I met Valerie, I found myself writing a sort of parody of a very well-known and lovely song which was used in a film which everybody knows, which was published a long time ago, and I'm trying to remember what it was now, but it explained exactly that. So it went about fairy tales do come true. Do you remember that? Fairy tales can come true. One could happen to you. Do you remember that song?
I do remember that song. I do remember that song.
Well, I wrote a sort of a special application variation on it, and I hope I'm not infringing copyright. I wonder if you'd like to hear it, because this is the first thing I said, wrote to Valerie.
Of course.
Have I inflicted on you?
Of course. Please do.
Well, listen, you have to forgive my beautiful voice. Fairy tales do come true. What has happened to you? Quoth her lung in heart. And as you can see, what has happened to me? Quoth I'm young. Well, I'm young in heart. All of laughter and tears we've both known down the years are now safely enshrined in the vaults of our minds. And those who try to tell us that we're much too old, well, we take them aside and are cheerfully told that when love comes to you, you will know what to do. If, like us, you are among the truly young at heart.
That is so beautiful, and you have a wonderful voice.
Oh, yes. I used to be a good cheerleader. My stuff is so varied. It's so everything from the sickly sentimental to the what I hope is witty.
There's another poem I'd like to read. It's, can you spare a minute, can you?
Oh, yes.
What was that based on?
You mean the TikTok?
Yes.
Do you mind if I say it? Because I wrote it in mind as a special reason.
Of course. Do you remember the word?
I was in one of the big stores here in London. They had a huge clock department. And they had a whole array of grandfather clocks. Ticking away, all very beautifully, and the rhythm rang in my ears for days afterwards. And I subsequently wrote it as a result. But because of that, it has to be read in a special way.
Of course, please.
Mind if I do it?
Of course, go right ahead.
Well, does the beat of a clock tick, tock, tick, tock, remind you your lifetime is ticking away? Tock, tick, tock. And it cannot come back on some other day. Tock, tick, tock, tick, tock. Or is it saying tick, tock, tick, tock? Make the most of whatever it is that you've got. In the still of the night, tick, tock, tick, tock. When everything's quiet, tick, tock, tick, tock. It's not just your own heart that you can hear beating, tick, tock, tick, tock. For wherever you go, whatever you do, tick, tock, tick, tock. And though you have forgotten me long, long ago, tick, tock, tick, tock. If my heart is beating and beating for you, tick, tock, tick, tock. Beating for you till the end of time, tick, tock, tick, tock. Till the end of time, only then like a clock.
Wow. Now, did you memorize that?
Yeah.
So you weren't reading that. You memorized that.
I'll read it. I think my sight is so bad. That's one that has stuck in my mind almost more than any of them.
And how do you account for having such an incredible memory?
I don't account for just that I'm born lucky.
So you've used the word luck a couple of times. Is it all about luck?
Well, I can only say it's good fortune, because if it was the other way around, it would be bad fortune and bad luck. I wouldn't know how else to explain it. I'm just fortunate enough to have that ability.
But there must be other reasons why you're so mentally astute. I'm sure. Can you think of any words of wisdom to help people understand, other than luck and good fortune, what is it about the way that you live life that
I think of one of the couplets that I didn't write, but I've always had it in my mind. Is about it was one of the Robert Herrick early English poets who wrote, "Two men looked out from prison bars. One saw mud, the other the stars." And it's your attitude of mind. You can always find something to be miserable about and grumble about. And there's some wonderful things happening about us all the time. And if you recognize them and dwell on them and enjoy them, I'm sure it has some sort of reflection through your frame of mind to make you feel happy with life and pursue life. If, God forbid, you're overtaken by ill health, that's another matter. But much of this has got nothing to do with ill health or good health. It's purely an attitude of mind of seeing the stars instead of looking at the mud.
Absolutely.
That answers your question.
So, absolutely. You're saying a lot of it is about being an optimist or looking for the rainbows.
Yes. Yes.
I think that's wonderful. And I would imagine that just keeping your mind active, writing the poetry that you do, that keeps your mind flexible.
Absolutely. It's like better than physical exercises at my time. And it is, because although it sounds that it comes off glibly when you're hearing me reading it, it actually is a lot of work involved. Anyway, Valerie is here. Do you want to talk to her?
Yes, I'd love to talk to Valerie for a little bit.
Sure, hold on. Here she is. Say hello.
Hello.
Hello, Valerie. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. So, Valerie, tell us about a little bit about your story.
Oh, wait, my distant, there we are. Okay, my story, what do you want to know?
Well, your story in terms of Henry was sharing a little bit about how your paths had crossed many times without you realizing it.
Yeah, yes. Well, I was, as he told you, a student at Wits, and then I graduated, and at that time I met my husband, and I got married.
Before
the husband. And I did teaching. First of all, during the war, I was supposed to be teaching in Kingsmead, Transvaal didn't allow married women to teach, so I went to teach in a private school, King David, which many Canadians will know about. I was from South Africa, and after that, I had four children, and eventually time went on, and I retired, and I went back to university, and I did a course in fine art, and then I decided that I better do something more serious, so I was accepted as a counselor in the pediatric oncology department in the Johannesburg General Hospital. And I trained as a counselor, and I worked there for 10 years. And then I came to London because we had three sons went to America, and our daughter came here. And we got tired of living without any children there, so we immigrated. We left South Africa and came here. And then after about 5 years, he died. And I came to live in, I didn't want to live in a flat alone. And I came to live in Sandwich Court here, the care home. And there I met Mr. Henry Kerr.
did you move into Sunridge prior to Henry's coming there?
Yes, I think I did. I think I was here a year or two before he was. He came in.
And how did the two of you meet? Was it love at first sight?
I don't know. Yes, he says yes. Huh? It was poetry readings. He told you we went to these. He was doing the poetry readings, and I was invited to attend, and that's where we met. But we also met in our restaurant in the dining room, and the mornings at coffee, and afternoon tea, and we would sit around and talk, and somehow we just got connected.
Is that typical of the residents at Sunridge? Do many people end up meeting each other and becoming a couple, or is it fairly rare?
We were the first ones, they told us. First we got engaged, and then we decided to get married. He wants to talk to you.
and how did you get married? Did you have a ceremony, or did you have a party?
I'd like to tell you, because this is truly unique. The big restaurant in this care home was converted into a dedicated shul. That the entire furnishings were completely rearranged as in a shul, and the local reform rabbi came down. They had lent us the chuppah. We had a proper, genuine Jewish wedding in this place for the first time. And it's gone down in history.
For the first time in the history of the carers, the residents.
In the residents, is also in the shul, and the rabbi who performed the ceremony. It's talked about all the time.
That's fabulous. That's fabulous.
It's fabulous. That really is something genuine. And one of the incidents that is also recorded on the recorder that the people were using to photograph us was halfway through the ceremony. I thought it was all over, and I turned to kiss my bride. And the rabbi said, no, not yet, not yet. So I punched the owner and said, I made up for it afterwards.
you really are a romantic guy.
Oh, yes. Yes, I mean, some of my poetry is almost sickeningly sentimental. At Valerie's 90th birthday party, I wrote a toast to the birthday girl, which ran to 5 pages of what I thought were quite clever stuff, all sorts of references. On the other hand, there's a short love story, which in poetry, which I think amused me if it amused nobody else. It says, "Why did you turn away from me? Why did you stay so long? Why did you spurn me so cruelly yesterday?" "Because you were so spurnable. Your letters all are burnable, your presents all returnable, and I could hardly bear to look you in the face. What did you say? I know you do. Of course I do. Same time, same place."
Henry, can I speak a little bit more to Valerie?
Yes, here you are.
I'm back here.
So Valerie, so did you ever believe that you would be married again and find such love in your life?
No, I never did. I never really did. I thought, well, that's that, and I'm here.
Uh-huh.
And that's it. But it turned out to be wonderful, absolutely exceptional and remarkable and wonderful.
So what are some words of wisdom that you can share in regards to remaining so youthful and in love?
Words that I can share?
Yes.
Pardon?
Words of wisdom that you can share about remaining so youthful and in love.
Oh, gee whiz, just love your partner, that's all I can say. Be good and kind and helpful and lovely, and look after your looks. Keep yourself looking good.
Yes.
And I think that's all I can say.
Would you say that part of the success that you have at being so vital and enjoying life is also about having family around you?
Oh, I think so. That keeps you vital. That keeps you very alive and interested and thoughtful towards them and they to you. And my daughter who lives here, she is a PhD in psychotherapy, and she is very good to me and to both of us. She takes me, and she's done that same with Henry. She's taken us to the galleries, all the galleries. She organizes the parking and the wheelchairs and everything, and she gets us going. And Henry's got his lovely paintings in this room, and we have a really good laugh together.
So it sounds like even if your body is not as strong as it used to be, that doesn't stop you from getting out and seeing the world.
No, it doesn't. I mean, it's very cold here now, so we don't go out too much. But we do go out, and we go out. We have a beautiful Friday night dinners at the family.
It sounds as if you feel truly blessed to have wonderful family around you, but also to have one another in your lives.
Absolutely. Now, can I tell you one other thing about Valerie, which she's too modest to tell you herself? She has crossed the Atlantic at least 32 times. She's been round the world and pursued a professional interest all over the world, and we're trying to add up how many flights she's had round the world. So far, we've got to over 70.
Wow. You're
one of the most traveled persons you'll ever meet in your life.
And
she's got friends going back over 50 years who are constantly in touch with her. They're gradually dying off and getting fewer and fewer. But those that are left are very affectionate, and they're in constant touch from all over the world. It's absolutely fabulous to see what happens with her. Fabulous woman.
So having that richness of life all through life and cultivating and keeping friendships has been very valuable for you as you've gotten all together.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, yes. I have, and I've got these wonderful friends who keep in touch with me from South Africa mainly, but not all of them. Some of them are trippers around the world. And it's wonderful to talk to them every now and again. I either phone or they phone me, and it's wonderful. Well, people, teachers that I worked with, and or that I taught their children, or some. It's been very, very rewarding altogether.
Well, it sounds like both of you have a very positive outlook on life, and it sounds like your paths, although they crossed many times throughout life, you know, obviously both of you were married to other people. The time wasn't right for you to meet until you did. But once you did, it was like two stars colliding.
Sorry, say that again.
Once you met, it was like two stars colliding.
Absolutely, with a big bang. It was a big bang.
And now that you're together, you are just enjoying every single second of every single day, it seems.
No, well, not exactly. Sometimes we have our arguments.
It's not perfect.
It's got to be somehow. I don't always agree with his ideas, and or him with me. We had different, very different backgrounds. You know, those have got to be sorted out. But it's wonderful. It is wonderful. That's all I can say.
Well, I'm thrilled to have had the opportunity to talk to both of you today. Do either of you have any parting words?
Thank you very much for being so sympathetic in your questions and so patient in listening to the answers. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and take good care of yourselves and take good care of one another.
Certainly will. Thank you indeed.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Words of Wisdom from a Centenarian and His Love. For more information about upcoming podcasts, please visit the podcast section of www.helpmesara.com. You can also subscribe to Help Me Sara podcasts on iTunes. Subscribe on my Facebook page, which is Sara Dimmerman, Help Me Sara, or follow me on Twitter at Help Me Sara. Until next time.